People of God, let me just jump ahead and tell you this. Jesus is coming back to do the things we are reading right now. That's why he's been trying to gather his officials. He's trying to have officers, workers. You know how Solomon had officials in all the cities? Do you know they provided food for him different months, different cities? Oh, go and look at it. That's a picture of Jesus too, King Solomon. He will run things in an organized way. Jesus is setting up his kingdom. He's picking his commissioners, his ministers now. He's picking them. His heads of pastors, he's picking them. And some of you may be. You may be 8 years now, but you are one of the officials. If you be faithful and consistent, you're called. You have a calling to be in the kingdom of God and to rule and reign with him. This is the truth. So he's speaking as official. And what will he do on the earth? I've told you, he won't clap his hands and everything changes. He's going to use people. And by then you'll be a high officer. So you can give orders with your mouth. You don't have to carry gun. It's called the rod of your mouth. You open your mouth and say something to come to pass. But I'm getting ahead of myself. He will give decisions for the poor. You know how you see poverty and you feel bad? Anyone here? You see all these things, you feel terrible? A time is coming when Jesus will be given decisions regarding the poor of the earth. Remember, he always does things through people. This is found in Psalm 2. It's found in Revelation chapter 2. Go back and look at it. Psalm 2, Revelation chapter 2. It tells you that he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. I'm about to show you that rod now. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. You've always heard about the rod. Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is when the father is talking to the son and saying that he'll give him the nations as an inheritance and he'll strike the earth. Listen, God wants to share out the earth, not spiritually, physically. This earth, this world, this terra firma, he wants to share it out for the ones. He's raising those who will administrate it. You join that kingdom by being born again first. And then you undergo training, and some people will fall by the wayside. You won't qualify. You may still be born again, but you couldn't endure the rigorous training regimen. You couldn't endure what? So you fell off. You didn't persevere till the end. Therefore, you didn't come out amongst those that were not just called or chosen. You were faithful. If you will press on and persevere, you will qualify to be in the ruling core. Revelation 2 now says, it's not the Father speaking to the Son. The Son is speaking to the overcomers. And he says, to him who overcomes, I will give authority over the nations. That they will be strike it with a rod of iron. And they will be broken like clay pots. That's Jesus now. Passing on whatever the Father gave him. I've told you, everything the Father gave Jesus, Jesus himself said, he said, whatsoever the Father has is mine, and that which is mine I am giving to you. That's how it works. So when he says ye are gods, he's saying, listen, I am God Almighty. There's God Almighty. You are not God Almighty, but you are children of God. The Psalms tells us. Jesus repeated very clearly when he was speaking to the Pharisees. He said, is it not written ye are gods? And he said the warning in the Psalms was that, but you die like a mere man because you don't know it. When you understand and you don't live like a mere human being for food, for what you eat, what you drink today. See, when you're like that, Psalm 49, you're a mere man. The Bible says you die like an animal because animals live to eat. How do they die? Like animals, they cut their throat and cook them, roast them, fry them, boil them. But they eat them. They were made to be consumed. Human beings that live and die anyhow. Psalm 49, it says the worm will feed on you sweetly. Human beings may not eat you, but something will eat you. Specifically, worms. That means you die like an animal. Animals are eaten. If your life ended with being eaten, go back and read Psalm 49. It's all there. However, if you recognize that man that is in honor and you are a man that knows it, you will reign like a god in the earth. Do you understand this? You will receive a brand new body, a brand new commission. You will qualify, and authority will be given to you. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Those human beings that try to know this, but they are slightly out of timing, many of God's preachers, they tell you that all authority has been given to you now. Where is it? Where is it? Can't handle mosquito. Plasmodium parasite. It has been given to Jesus. He's now sharing it. He gave gifts to men. Are you listening? Remember, Abraham gave gifts to all his sons. You don't know Abraham had at least 6 other sons? Yes. But he gave all that he had to Isaac, the son of the promise. Question, are you one of the sons, general children, or do you want to be Isaac? Who wants to be a general child of Abraham? Child of faith, I believe, I receive. The most you get are gifts. But if you want to inherit all things, if you want the Lord to say, today, I have made you my son, and you want to inherit all things, like it repeats in the book of Revelation, then you have to be Isaac. You have to be the one who is willing to lay down his life. When the Father says, come, lie down on this altar, you have to agree to be different. You're not trying to be different. You're just extremely obedient to your Father. Scriptures say, he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Look at the effect of the rod. I told you his authority. Have you seen some of these senior officers? They carry a small staff. A small, like a wand. Small. Yeah. It's their sign of authority. Have you seen small officers carry it? They don't give them any such thing. They don't have any such authority. But with that little stick he's carrying around, tapping his hand, he can command a whole army. He can do like this, and many people go and lay down their life and die. But when you judge things after the flesh, even when you're around such things, you won't know. Don't judge things after the flesh. You are not wise. Really learn not to know people after the flesh for your own sake. Jesus came because they knew him after the flesh. They lost out. But look at the authority he had. He had the rod of his mouth. Whenever Jesus opened his mouth, things happened. He would open his mouth and say, come out of him. And that's the end. Once he says, come out of him, everything is fine. Everyone is healed. Once he opens his mouth and says, that's for demons, healing. He rebuke sickness. The person is instantly well. All he needs is to open his mouth. It's called the rod of his mouth. It's the authority of the king. The authority of the king does not come from behaving like a child. It comes from constant obedience. As you yield and keep obeying the Lord, you acquire the authority like a high-ranking military official, and you are able to ensure that things happen. That's what Jesus had. He had it, but I'm saying there's a manifestation of this that came to pass, right? Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. When Jesus came, did he do that? He did that. But that is a partial fulfillment. That's a slight fulfillment. Jesus came and fulfilled what he did. A little. A time is coming when he's going to fulfill everything he was supposed to fulfill. That's the season we are drawing into. When the age changes, what else will happen? With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Did we see this in the book of Revelation? Where out of his mouth went a two-edged sword. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. How did he do it? In the book of Exodus chapter 14. He opened his mouth, the sea parted, his nostrils. Do you remember? He parted the sea, and then he drowned the Egyptians. Righteousness will be his belt. Righteousness. It is not the righteousness of Jesus. Jesus is not wearing the righteousness of Jesus. There's two kinds of righteousness. The first one is the one everybody likes to use. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Jesus Christ has become to us righteousness. The second kind of righteousness is 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Your righteousness. He that does righteousness is righteous. This is the righteousness that comes from obedience. We've seen in Romans chapter 6, when we see that you go from what? Obedience, it results in righteousness, which results in holiness. I expect choruses. If you are not holding these things tight, you're not doing well, I expect you to chorus the answer, because I've taught it to you thoroughly. What's the opposite on the side of darkness? First, you have what? Disobedience or sin, which results in greater sin or lawlessness, which results in death. Three steps to the left, side of darkness. Three steps to the right, the side of light. All these are provided for in Scripture. So, this righteousness will be his belt, it says, and faithfulness, the sash around his waist. Faithfulness will be the sash around his waist. The wolf. So he'll be faithful, he'll be righteous. All of that will happen in the earth. You carry this thing on his body, you go around. When they say you wear something around your waist, it means you carry it on yourself. Some of your Bibles might say truth will be his belt. It means that thing is you. It's tight. It holds. It's not something you do once in a while. That means Jesus is what he carried. Truth and righteousness is his nature. And he's going to use it to execute justice in the earth, to set things right. Remember, whatever Jesus has, you should have if you're going to be one of his administrators. If you will be an administrator of the kingdom of God, you have to be like your master. And this is when you are sent to learn those things. This time is your training time. If you qualify, then you will be given your own cities. You administrate over these cities because you are like me. You have learned to operate in righteousness and in truth. You've learned to operate with authority and so on. Everything you do, like Jesus, qualifies you to carry out the role that Jesus was called to carry out by the Father. You're not doing it for anybody, and you're not doing it to make heaven. You're doing it to deserve authority when he returns and he says, servants, come and give account. Then the real purpose begins to unfold. Before that, all you have is nothing. You're just a citizen of the kingdom. You're not much, and the age to come, you end up not being much either, if you're even there. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. This is how powerful the reign of Jesus will be. It will be so powerful that you have animals that have nothing to do in common together. Wolves will be with lambs. Wolves eat lambs. Leopards eat goats. Normally, lions and calves and young calves, 1 year old, don't stay together. The Bible says they will lie down together. All. And on top of all of that, you see a little child leading them. A little child will be leading them. Why would these things be so? These things will be so because Jesus is going to establish righteousness in the earth. He's going to take away all the... Remember how we talked about what sin has done in the earth? All of that will be reversed. It will be moved backwards. Why? Because man, do you think animals were eating animals when Adam was in charge originally? Were they eating each other? No. Because Adam would start to take his place. The last man will be multiplied. 1 Corinthians 15, resurrected man. People will have brand new bodies. Those that partake in what the church normally calls the rapture, which scriptures better refer to as the first resurrection, Revelation 20, the first resurrection. When that happens, there will be a batch of people like that. People that have authority once more to say, wolves, come here. If any of you touches any lamb in this world, I don't want this. Adam had authority. He named them. This is your identity. You don't eat other animals. You eat. What does the Bible say they'll eat? Let's read it. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. So you will see lions, they are chewing on grass. How is that? I thought they were sharp teeth. Who told you they were originally, they had sharp teeth? Who told you? Have I told you that sin has messed up? You think mosquitoes came into this earth, biting people? Adam, don't suck them today. Really? You think you touch a plant leaf and things will come out all over your body? Has anyone been stung by it? You touch a plant leaf, it scratched your skin and strange stuff came out. Anyone here? You think Adam used to walk naked everywhere with Eve? With plants that tear your skin? Has grass cut you before? Cut you like this with blood? No! You know, when I said some of those things earlier, I know there's always someone that thinks, well, he's trying to make us laugh. Things are not how they were. Things have changed. You really think birds used to fly above and grab someone, a chicken, and eat? No. It's sin. It has touched everything. When Adam sinned, creation ran amok. You were not even created to eat meat. Originally, you can eat meat. When Noah came out of the boat, God said, I give you all the beasts of the field for food. But before that, you weren't meant to, you ate grass, you ate fruits, you ate herbs. That's what I mean. You ate herbs. You were not eating meat. But when Noah came, because the earth, things had changed, God saw, this guy will not survive on grass alone. Now things are going to start happening. Did you hear now that winter and summer would now exist? Cold and heat. Oh, you presume it was always so, right? We have lots of presumption. As long as the earth remains, why would God say it if it was normal? I'm just asking. I'm not saying. I'm not making any dogmatic statement. I'm just asking. Why was he telling Noah, as long as the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold, heat? You think Adam had seed time and harvest? When was seed time for Adam? When Adam came into the earth, was there a garden already, or he planted it already? So there was no seed time. There was just harvest. He just tended the garden that had already been planted. God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Actually, you should be saying the garden in Eden, because Eden was more than the garden. It was a garden in Eden. So he planted. And as he planted, God planted. Then man was put into it. Already done. The promised land is similar. I will bring you into a land where you will drink from vineyards you did not plant. Is that in your Bible? From wells you did not dig. Is that in your Bible? Can you believe now? In God's nature, God is fine with giving you an inheritance. An inheritance, is it something you worked for? Huh? Ask of me, and I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. God gives inheritances. You don't work for inheritances. You earn them by reason of relationship and deservedness. All right. So, scriptures say that the lion will eat grass. It is possible that the lion's teeth got sharp with time. Okay? Possible they used to be like the cow's teeth. Herbivore teeth, not carnivore, because there were no carnivores. There was no death in the earth. It's not just Adam that depreciated in quality. All creatures depreciated. You think these mangoes that come out of our mango trees are proper? They are not. They are not behaving well. It's sin. Mango that you should be carrying with three hands, two people should be holding. Oh yeah, hold. Watermelon size. Carry it. Wait now, you see. You remember I told you. You should be eating mango with a knife. Watermelon. Have you seen big? Not these are watermelon. The one is really sick. Have you seen proper watermelon? It's sin. Guys, things are bad. You remember that video, Al Molonga, in Guatemala, where carrots is this size? from here to here, real pictures. And they were deemed, if they weren't spiritual carrots, they're just passing through that place. The Holy Ghost, everyone got born again, or more or less, almost in that village in Guatemala. The Spirit of God entered the soil. Every plant in it is giant size. Not but in those days, now. It's a real place in existence right now in the earth. Everything is giant. Everything. Any food is big. They are trying to study and find out. They can't, because it has nothing to do with physical fertilizer, anything. It's the Holy Ghost. He entered the ground. That's how things almost were. I think it was better in Adam's time. Are you listening? Things have changed. Things, everything you see, you're seeing the damaged form. That's the damaged form you're seeing. You're saying, oh, it's so nice. It's damaged. You're just managing. Everything is, we are managing. Some of you have a problem with your hair. You've been praying. God has will answer you. Don't worry. In the age to come, your problem will be, the hair will be too long. Just please let them cut this thing. You say, can you give me an angel assigned for cutting my hair? Because this load is much. Africa, I don't know if it's punishment. I don't know if anybody is meant to have hair like this. African hair. You guys have to use hot comb. Fry it with chemicals. And sometimes the thing leaves a bye-bye on your head. You, creation is groaning. You'll be free. Oh, people, we will be free. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's a matter of time. We'll all be free. In the name of Jesus. And some of you, for the fun of it, let me give you a sign. You have children with soft hair, and you'll be wondering, what happened? Your husband will say, excuse me, ma. But creation will start straightening up. Things are not... You don't think it's sin that makes your hair as hard as it is. It's not right now. It's not... Hold. Two hands. You know, so some people don't just comb their hair. They just change into a style. Don't punch it like this, boom, boom, boom. I've seen it up close. They just came up with styles that require not combing the hair. They call it dreadlock. We do all sorts of things. We lock it, we unlock it, we bond it, we paint it, we fry it. It's sin. We are suffering. If things were right, the thing should be soft. When you, oh yeah, straighten up. Oh yeah, stand. I want you standing today. The style I'm carrying today is standing style. Oh yeah. When even your own hair does not obey you, you should know things are bad. But God will change these things. He will. He will. Things will be different. Things will be different. Things will be vitally different in the earth. And He's going to do it through people who lay down their lives in obedience to Him and do whatever He says. The Bible says, I'm going to show you, I'm jumping the places where it talks about the infant and the little child, because I want to put it together. Verse 9, they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen? He said they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. And then he says that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. The same way the flood covered the whole seas. Remember? The waters covered the sea. 40 days and 40 nights. Remember, God is going to bring His glory and to cover the earth. There's going to be a flood of God's glory. The devil doesn't win. There's nothing like, oh, sin made God destroy the whole earth. Things are so bad. Jesus' obedience, Romans 5. Through one man's righteousness, 18, 19, 20, all will be justified. Things will be set back in order. The devil's badness cannot overwhelm God's goodness. There's going to be goodness everywhere, people, all over this earth. Now, the children, a little child will lead them. That was the end of verse 6. 8. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. Ah, look at this moving rope. You put his hand in. Snakes everywhere. You know you can't change it. I know some of you are scared. You haven't said anything about it. I'll not allow my child. You will not stop the child. Because if you have a child that is translocating all the way like Jack, Don't worry if you don't know. Don't worry. He's here. He's there. And he really likes playing with the vipers. You do what? Nothing. That's why you need to get born again and grow up now. Because a little child will lead them. Now, that can be understood in two ways. One, literal little children in that age will be there. Yes, they will be. Two, spiritual people right now that are considered children. Did I just talk about being as a little child? For such is the kingdom of God. If you refuse to be like a little child, you will not qualify. But if you agree to be like a little child today, you'll be a little child that will lead them. You'll be the one in charge. I didn't want to go too far, but every creature we mentioned here, from the wolf to the leopard to the lion, is also referring to nations. Ah, come on. The book of Daniel tells you that the third kingdom was like a leopard. Didn't you read it? Referring to Greece. It tells you from among you will rise wolves. Didn't you read it? They'll be tamed. You are sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Lambs and sheep. People that were formerly wolves. People that were formerly leopards. World rulers. Those kings he appointed from time past. In his sovereignty that he chose. Redemption. All things will be reconciled. That are in heaven and on earth. Does Colossians 1 say this? I can't go deep. But if you've been through BBS, you understand what we are talking about. I just wanted to show you that it's always been there. Those are the nations of the earth. And someone is wondering, well, you might be stretching it. Well, we can't drink milk all our life. We have to bring out solid food. I'm not stretching it. I would have stopped there, but I have to prove to you I'm not stretching it. Verse 10. In that day, the root of Jesse, who is that? Will stand as a banner for the peoples. Watch. The nations will rally to him. And what are those beasts? The Bible says the fourth beast, the first beast you saw, is a nation, a kingdom that shall arise out of the earth. The second is a kingdom. The third is a kingdom. All of them are kingdoms. Led by people, horns. The Bible calls them horns. The nations will rally to him. Do you remember we read that, Shiloh? Come on, until Shiloh comes. Did you read that the nations? Do you need to read it again? Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Come on, it's the same. You're seeing it. You're seeing it. Genesis, Isaiah, Revelation. Same he who was, he who is. That chapter 4, we didn't read it. I jumped it. But it says, this is he who was, who is to come. It's the same God. Again, that's my quarrel with all the people that say God has changed. Please don't be saying it. God has not changed. He has never changed. He's not planning to. It says, and his resting place will be glorious. The nations will rally, and his resting place, this is his resting place, he's describing. Remember that the scepter shall depart from Judah until the one to whom it is for will come. The Lord Jesus. There will never be a time when it is not the house of David, the Lord Jesus being in charge, until there's final rule and authority established and all things are made subject to him. All things. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand. Listen, I can't explain. But remember Numbers chapter 9? In that day, the second Passover, do you remember? Watch, I can't explain, right? In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time. What on earth does that mean? A second time? It has historical application, but it has more. To reclaim the surviving remnant of his people. From where? From Assyria? From Lower Egypt? From Upper Egypt? From Cush? From Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean, all over the place. Now, in the physical, there are those that will say, yes, there are Jews that came from this place. And they are right to a degree. That's a limited application. Don't make that mistake, because you hear wonderful people. Even in the conference we went for in Jos, someone shared something. That's a limited, how many of you heard, you know, it limited the application of Jews, Israel. Oh dear God. Don't worry if you didn't notice. I'm happy if you didn't notice. In fact, I was. Don't worry. There's multiple, remember, multiple levels of application. I am not doing that limited release version. The one that happened with Israel in 1947. It's quite limited. And there are many reasons why. Because there are things that are set there that have not come to pass and cannot come to pass. Because it doesn't, how you always know there is more to be fulfilled is if only part of the prophecy came to pass. If all, did you see this place say in that day? I'm reading it now. You didn't see, but I'm reading it. In that day, which day? Are lions lying down with lambs? Are they? Then how can you tell me this has been fulfilled when it tells you when it will happen? Is that enough evidence?
Yes.
I could give you more, but it's not important. It told you that it's in that day when lions are lying down with lambs, leopards with where a little child is putting his hand and picking snakes. It is not happening. So there's a fulfillment that is yet to come. As usual, God speaks once, it's fulfilled on multiple levels. Twice you hear. He was, he is, and he is to come. The scriptures say, in that day, repeat it a second time in verse 11, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people. And he tells you from all sorts of places. Assyria. Do you know that it's Assyria that took the 10 tribes of Israel? Do you remember? You don't know? The 10 tribes of Israel, as opposed to the 2 tribes of Judah, is Assyria that took them, scattered them everywhere. It is believed, if you hear some of the stories, they say they went all the way to Ireland, that they're Jews. Ireland, so all the English Western areas that, of course, the Ashkenaz, most of the, you may not be aware, but most of the Jews, they have their roots in the Russian area. And the question is, how did they get there? Because they scattered far and wide when the 10 tribes were scattered. Where did they go? They have records, they have things that show that they have Hebrew in their background. All the way back. So the nations of the earth have a lot of these prophecies that you read. And it says in that day Israel will come back and all that. Israel has been spread out. So many of the tribes of the earth are Israeli in origin. They've mixed up with the nations of the earth, which was always God's will. That's why he never chased away the mixed multitude. From the time he called them out of Egypt, the mixed multitude were there from the get-go. Because it has always been God's desire that his glory will not fill Israel as the waters cover the sea. It will fill where? The whole earth. Jesus is not Jesus of some people. He's the Lord of the nations. Unto him the nations will come. Are you listening? He purposely took them and scattered them like seed into the nations of the earth. Are you with me? They are not special in and of themselves. That's why when sometimes people go out too hard. I'm sorry. Let me just say it quickly. There was a time this was me, all right, 15 years ago. And it was. I know Israel has a special destiny and is a picture. And they speak and they are a sign in the earth for different things. The problem is that the Israel you normally think of are 2 tribes. Judah and Benjamin. That is not the Israel that the prophet made to. Israel, his name was Israel, formerly Jacob. And what is he? How many tribes? 12. So Peter will start a letter, James, and say to the 12 tribes, grace and peace. Which 12 tribes? The 12 tribes were scattered before ages ago. A hundred years later, Israel went into captivity. So always think this way for safety, for your understanding. Okay? Always think this way. There are 12. There are 12. Eh? I hope I'm... Whatever, it doesn't matter. 10 here. Yes. 10 tribes here. 2 tribes here. These 10 tribes was ruled by Ahab, husband of Jezebel, was ruled by Jeroboam. That was their first king. God made him their king. Was ruled by many kings. Finally, God, these are the ones that was referred to in the passage I read, that referred to them as Sodom and her daughters. Do you remember? That their issue was too much. You remember? Yawala. Good. These guys were taken captive by Assyria. I'm not speaking French or anything complicated. Has anyone come across these ideas? It's in first, you read there in the book of Kings and Chronicles. Have you read these things? It's plain. Assyria did not conquer them. They shipped them away. They moved them out of their country. The Bible says, and scattered them into the nations. They never came back. The people that went to Babylon, that all of us, and I used to be one of them, that we keep saying Israel has come back, Israel is where Jesus was born into, called at that time Judea. Do you remember? This is like almost a Greek version, a Hellenistic version of Jewry, to be a Jew. And I'm going to say something that will slightly offend you, but the truth, sorry. Judah was where Jerusalem was, yes? And Jerusalem is found in which was formerly known as Jebus, which is found in the tribe of... Why are you not shouting? If I find you people, hey, in fact, if I... Hey, oh Jesus, don't do it. Okay, I think I'll disappear. That's all I'll do. When I disappear next, when I come back, if you like, don't repent. Where is Jebus found in? We just studied it last week. Why are you thinking? No. This is official, I'm quarreling. If I say don't talk to me, it's found in Benjamin. You can't forget after 7 days. Benjamin and Judah together comprise Judea. It's referred to in your Bible everywhere as Judah. The thing I said will offend you is that at a point, Edom, the brother of Jacob, joined up. Herod is from the lineage of Edom. The Herod. Herod is not a name, it's a title, like Pharaoh. Kings of Egypt are known as kings of Judea at the time of Jesus were known as Herod. It's not the same Herod that wanted to kill Jesus, that Jesus came back. And after Jesus died, all those Herod, Agrippa, Archelaus, all that. It's a title. Herod is a title. It's not a name. Herod was of Edomite lineage. They had joined up with Jewry, with the Jews, many years before. Became a fused kingdom. So what you have and refer to as Israel is actually not called Israel almost throughout your Bible. They are referred to as Jews in your New Testament. You've read them. So what about these guys and all the promises in the Old Testament? You can't say no. Like, hear me, you can't dispute it in the sense of saying no, that's your opinion. When God was talking, he was not referring to Israel, this other Israel. Why you cannot say is because in the book of Ezekiel, it is plain when he said, I am talking to you, Judah, your sister. Has anyone read these things? He says, your sister Israel was not as bad as you. And then he makes promises to them and to them. It's clear. He separates them. But when we read it, like I used to read it all those years, we bundle in everything. Even though the Bible goes to great effort to distinguish that there's Israel, there's Judah. And I've told you a major reason why God scattered them into the nations was so that he could come. All the nations could come to him. Do you understand? He's still trying to make that point. Do you remember the mixed multitude that went out with Israel into the wilderness? Do you remember there's one law? There shall be one law for the native born, one law for the foreigner. From the beginning, God's heart has never been for some people. It was always for everyone. And his intention was to recover the earth, not a group of people. That is why even today, Jews are amongst the worst sinners. They have nude beaches where people go to beach and they are naked. They do rubbish. At the time, they might still be the capital of gay pride, where gays walk around, march around, and do their gay parade and all that. Israel, this Israel that everybody goes to for pilgrimage, they are nasty, they are godless, they lack God's fear like this. Many of them, they are behind so many things. Israel controls Jews control Hollywood. You remember all those things? Gold Mayer, you see that lion, rah. All of that. Don't you see the name Mayer? You see Mayer, you see Stein, you see this, you see that. Oh, if you see STIN in anyone's name, that's a Jew. All their names are same. You can tell if you know Jewish names. They're everywhere. They control so much. They control the world's banking, the Rothschilds, all these guys, Oppenheim. They are Jews. They are very influential individually in all areas. Super influential. You won't believe how powerful they are. Not as a nation, okay, but individually. Wealth, power, authority. So they can be very godless. Don't think they fear God. Few of them fear God. Few. They persecute Christians in Israel. You can go for pilgrimage. You're passing through. If you're a Christian, you live in Israel. It's hard for you to get a job. Just think of what normally think happens to Muslims in Muslim countries. Jews do it to Christians. Now, not in the past. Are you listening? I'm sorry if this bursting any bubbles you had. It's the fact. And remember, for very many years, I didn't think or talk like this. But knowledge should increase. You've heard me say wonderful things about Jews many times, but they are after the flesh. They are not of Abraham's feet. For you to be of Abraham, the Bible calls us the Israel of God. Peace be to the Israel of God in the book of Galatians. He was, let no man trouble me. Because the Israel of God are scattered into the nations of the world, the nations of the earth. So you too could be dragged in. Do you remember when Jesus said, I have this flock in John chapter 10? But I have another flock that I must also bring, that they might be one flock. Do you remember? Good. Good. So Jesus did not come for some people. He came for all people. And the process of recovering them is what he is doing. And what we've just read here, I was trying to show you that the nations is what he came for. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah. Those are different focuses. From the four quarters of the earth, the whole earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish. And Judah's enemies will be destroyed. Who knows who is Ephraim usually? Who is referred to as Ephraim? Israel. Do you know? Know it. Write it down. You come across all these things in your Bible. When you read, you're wondering, why are they saying Ephraim here? It's just like when they say Jacob, referring to Israel as a whole, everyone. Most times. But when he says Ephraim, who is Ephraim? Who was his brother's name? Manasseh. Many times the Bible uses a particular word like that to refer to the whole group. So Ephraim is used to normally refer to all of the 10 tribes. And you see after that he said, and Judah's enemies will be destroyed. Who is Judah? Referring to the other side. The Israel had what is called the dominion mandate. The birthright was given to Joseph. Joseph is amongst the 10 tribes. Ephraim and Manasseh with the sons. Both of them were given. Do you remember? A double portion goes to the first son. Is it not Ephraim and Manasseh that are the two sons of Joseph? So Joseph, it's plain. It's said. I'm not just adding 2 plus 2. In Chronicles, it says clearly. He said that Reuben went up to his father's couch. Was disqualified. But the birthright was given to Joseph. So Joseph ended up taking the birthright. Joseph takes the birthright. But Judah takes the dominion. Do you understand? Judah, the scepter doesn't depart out of Judah. That's why Jesus comes and is born in Judea. Judah. But the birthright, the double portion, is given out. So Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah. Can you understand that line now? Because that's the next line. The previous explanation, everything I'm explaining should help you understand the previous one. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah. Why is he talking about jealousy? Because there will be those. Now, all of you that have always bothered me with that question. What happens to those that are not overcomers? What happened to them? They will not be jealous of each other. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah. Judah might have dominion. Ephraim will not be jealous. God will know how to shout things. Nor Judah hostile towards Ephraim. Are you hearing? Things will work out. They will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west. Together they will plunder the people to the east. They will subdue Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be subject to them. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea with a scorching wind. He will sweep his hand over the river Euphrates. He will break it up into 7 streams so that anyone can cross over in sandals. Why does the Bible talk like that? What we saw on Wednesday should help you. Yes? Ankle, knee, waist, and water that you cannot wade. Do you notice it's 7 streams? Remember, we started with the 7 spirits of God. He will break it up into 7 streams so that anyone can cross over in sandals. Anyone. To be possible for everyone to experience the things of the Spirit. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel. Who is the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria? You should be experts now. Who is the remnant of the people that are left from Assyria? Israel. There will be a highway for the remnant of the nations, the people that were scattered. Tells the nations. Hebrew goyim. Goy. Goyim. Those of the Gentiles, of the nations. In Hebrew, they call us goyim. There will be a highway. That's it. It will be easy for them to come to the knowledge of God. As there was for Israel when they came up from Egypt. That means you make a way to be easy. Remember how they was. He tells you how. The sea will dry up. There will be a clearing. They can go across in sandals. You make it easy. You make it possible for people to come escape captivity. Are you listening? I'm giving you prophetic glimpses of the greatest revival that is going to come on the earth. All this plunder that they are talking about, plunder, subdue, Edom, Moab, Ammonites, is not just physical. These are spiritual pictures for what the Lord is going to do in the earth. How he's going to bring many people to him. He's going to make it easy for people to know God. He's going to make it easy for people to go from darkness into light, to escape their captivity. Are you understanding? You use signs and wonders, miracles. He will bring his people back to himself. From ever, wherever they are, he said a second time he stretched forth his hand. God has helped us before. He's going to help us again. I'll end with these few verses. In that day, just to show you has it happened already or is it in the future? In that day, you will say, I will praise you, Lord, although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Second Passover, are you listening? Are you listening? All sins that men commit shall be forgiven them. Every sin and blasphemy. In that day, they will say, although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away. Because God has told you clearly throughout the scriptures that his anger does not last forever. But we believe it does, in spite of how many times he has said that his anger does not last forever. And even all of us that say we believe it, you believe it in your heart. You believe it personally for yourself. It's for all the nations. Because the Lord will stretch forth his hand a second time. Numbers 9 tells you that those that miss the first Passover, they will be a second Passover. You can't change it. If Christ is our Passover and he has been slain, and God is not just our Savior, but the Savior of the... What does 1 John chapter 2 say? He says, the Savior, not just of us, but of the whole world. He said he's the Savior, not just of those who believe, but all. But he says the Savior of the whole world, especially of those who believe. Multiple times he tells you this. He says his anger will not last forever. A weeping may last for a night. The joy is coming in the morning. The Bible tells you that until the day's dawn rise in our hearts. Until. It hasn't happened yet. Peter said that. That you should take heed to scripture. That is like a light in a dark place. That is given to us until the day star arises in our hearts. The morning star. And Jesus says, I am the bright and morning star. The root of David. I'm just tossing these things out. For those that have been through the Believer's Bible School, I know you didn't read all these verses. But I'm trying to show you that you can see verses like this from Genesis to Revelation. They are everywhere. But normally when we see them, we don't see them. We don't see them. We read them and just walk past. We don't see that God has promised to establish things in the earth with very clear promises. God has promised to establish plans to change hearts, to draw all men. What did he say? When I'm lifted up, I'll draw some men. He said, all unto him shall the nations assemble. It's not some knees that will bow. It's every knee that will bow. And every tongue that will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord will stretch out his hand a second time. You can't change it. The promises are replete throughout scripture. They are not a few. Now, I'm not using the main scripture. These are support scriptures to the earlier studies we've done on what Jesus came to do in revealing grace in the earth and what grace actually is, the real grace of God that teaches us to live righteous and godly lives. There will be a second time.